This episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. You know that one friend who always finds the best travel deals, picks the right cards, somehow ends up in first class for the price of coach? Well, Smart Travel is like that friend, but in podcast form. They cover all things travel finance, like which travel cards earn their keep and which are just heavy, shiny metal, or how to avoid paying for upgrades that you won't use. They also talk about which airport lounges are worth it and which ones are basically just, you know, free Wi-Fi and chairs. Travel smarter and spend less with help from Nerd Wallet. Follow Smart Travel wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
And welcome to the Fromer Travel Show. I'm your host, Pauline Fromer. I've done a lot of different types of travel over the years, but I'm embarrassed to say I've never done a dude ranch vacation, despite the fact that this is quite an established, long-running type of adventure that a family or a couple or seniors can do. So to educate me, I have Bryce Albright on the line. She is the executive director of the National Dude Ranch Association. Hey, Bryce, welcome to the Fromer Travel Show.
Hey, Miss Pauline. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
And I love that you're wearing a cowboy hat and have this beautiful background. Where are we talking to you from?
I actually am based in Wyoming, and this is actually all of my husband and I's stuff behind us, all the trophy buckles and bits and ropes and his shafts, and yeah, so it is my cowboy hat, so I will say.
Right, and you are a rancher, right? You
yes,
actually,
ma'am.
Tell me what, let's get to the, we'll get to that in a moment. Let's talk about the association first. I was stunned not only to hear that the association is turning 100, but that this kind of activity, that this vacation activity existed well before the association was even created. So do you know, do we know what the first dude ranch vacation was and who came up with the idea for this?
Yes, so it is. It has such an incredible history. And I think that's what makes it just so special in general is it kind of just ties everything together. The West, the cowboy way of life, and then also, you know, just the culture and the country that we all are very fortunate to be a part of. But the very first dude ranch that was kind of coined and the people that came up with the idea was started in the 1880s, wow. Which is pretty amazing to think back to that time. You know, it's nothing like what we know now, but it was started technically in North Dakota by a family, and it was a group of brothers called, their last name was Eaton. And so it was the Eaton's Ranch, and it was a cattle ranch is essentially how it started. And they had moved from back east out west and kind of to follow the dream. And
were they gold miners originally,
they
or they knew they were going to be ranchers?
They knew they were going to be ranchers, is my understanding of it.
Yeah.
And so they moved out west and they started this cattle ranch together, and they started having people come, and they wrote back to their families in the east, of course, and told them about all their adventures and what they were dealing with and what they were going through. And people were really intrigued by it. And so they came out to visit them. And they finally got to a point where the cattle market was pretty low and they were struggling a bit, and they loved having these people. They loved showing them the cowboy way of life, but it started to get expensive. So they started, we laugh at this number now, but they started charging them, I believe it was $10 a week.
Wow.
And to come and experience that. And that was just to help cover, you know, food costs. And that was mainly it. And
right.
So, and the idea of kind of the Dude Ranch was born with that. And throughout the next pretty much 40 years, from the 1880s till about the 1920s, this industry kind of blossomed and people came up, you know, with more of this guest-oriented hospitality idea. And that's what led the Dude Ranch industry to becoming, you know, kind of an official industry, if you will, when the group of ranchers and some railroad officials, some national park and game, fish and game officials came together in Bozeman, Montana, in September of 1926. And that's when they actually officially established the Dude Ranchers Association.
Huh. Interesting. And what was the point in establishing it? Did they want to set some standards? Were they an advertising organization? Did they want to raise the profile of Dude Ranching? Why? What was the original reason why this was created?
Honestly, it was all of the above, but truly it was kind of to standardize the idea of the industry. And so, and to really gain representation in a larger scale. So working very closely with the railroads at the time was very important to them. That was how people got out west. That's how they got their guests. Mm. And obviously, many of these were very centered around Yellowstone National Park, Grand Teton, and many other national parks as well. Sure. But Yellowstone being the oldest. And so it was very important to them. They were very ahead of their time, honestly, in terms of advertising, in terms of, you know, really working with the government and conservation efforts to maintain their environments, which was very important to them and it still is today. And so it was kind of all of the above, but really something that's always been really intriguing to me about Dude Ranchers and is why I love working for this group of people is they are the most supportive competitors you'll literally ever be around. And they love to work together. I mean, and that is one of the biggest parts of being a part of the association. And really, that's any association, but is that you're able to network and bounce ideas off of each other. And, you know, hey, what's going on? And how are you handling this? You know, or are you doing about this scenario? And so that was really the part of bringing the network together, too, was really important to them.
Now, not every Dude Ranch that exists is part of your association, right? How many Dude Ranches are there roughly in North America, and how many are in your organization?
So this is always a very hard question to answer because how we define Dude Ranches and guest ranches and what ranches meet our standards is not exactly what everybody advertises a Dude Ranch as. So there are many, probably close to 200 Dude Ranches, if you will, across the U.S. and Canada. And that's the territories we represent. And so, but for ones that actually meet our standards and meet our guidelines and our definition of a Dude Ranch is probably more around that like 150, 125 kind of area. And then within the association itself, within the DRA, we currently represent 91 ranches across the Western U.S. and Canada in 10 different states and one Canadian province.
And so you said not every Dude Ranch will meet your standards. So it might actually be a farm with a bunch of goats that they put saddles on or for the kiddies. Or what does that mean? What are the standards?
So more so, a lot of our standards and our guidelines that ranches have to meet of not being a pay-to-play network is they have to apply. They have to go through an entire application process. They go through a vetting process where we travel to ranches. That's a big part of what I do is we go and do accreditation visits.
That must be fun.
It is fun. It is fun. I say we, speaking about my board of directors and I, and we make sure that they're meeting what they advertise. That's the biggest thing. But they have to be horse focused. So they have to have a very strong horse program. And when I say horse program, I mean trail riding operation, and it definitely has to meet safety standards. That's a very big part of what we do. And then they also have to be all inclusive. So meals, lodging, most activities included in one price. And we say most activities because there are a la carte activities like massages or usually alcohol is not included within the package. You know, there's just a variety of kind of one-offs, but the beauty is it's very well advertised of what's extra. And right. So that's very important because actually when you start digging into U.S. travel especially, there are very, very, very few all-inclusive destinations in the U.S. And
true.
So Dude Ranches are, you know, kind of the package. And that's why, like during the pandemic, they became incredibly popular. We had the actually exact opposite problem that the travel industry had.
Wow.
We were incredibly busy. You know, 2020 through about 2023 were some of the best years Dude Ranches had in a lot of their history.
That is crazy. Yeah, that's very, very interesting. So when you say, so you have standards, there's, it has to be horse focused, but I would think even within those standards, there's probably a great variety in terms of what a Dude Ranch can be like. So will you tell me, and before I get to that, so I'm going to have you tell me a couple of examples of really interesting places, but I also am curious, are most Dude Ranches primarily ranches or are they primarily vacation destinations? Where is the business? Is it mostly people who are making their money from tourism or still from ranching?
So I would say it's probably about 50-50 of the ranches in our association. There are probably about 50% of them that their main source of income comes from the guest hospitality side. And then there's the other 50% that, because we do have working ranches that are considered working cattle ranches where people go, and that's part of the experience is you are hands-on, you know, you're fixing fence with them, you're trailing cows, you know, and of course it can be as extensive or, you know, relaxed as you want it to be. That's the beauty of Dude Ranches. But yeah, I mean, so it's about, I would say 50-50 on that side of it. And all of them do have an agriculture-based, you know, side of the operation, whether they put up hay, whether they run cattle. Some of them are more like kind of farm stays almost where, you know, you've got the goats and the cows and, you know, they get to be a part of kind of that side of things. And so that's really intriguing to a lot of people. And as far as, you know, it's not just horses. It's really not. And that is how the industry has evolved, but also stayed very true to its roots is people go because of the horses. You know, they go and because of the nature and the landscapes and the wildlife, you know, that's all what drew people to these destinations for the last 100 years.
Sure.
But truly anymore, you know, I see Dude Ranches are truly the perfect vacation destination for anyone because you can have something as rustic and simple as a working cattle ranch vacation, or you can have something as, you know, as high end as a luxury resort. That also
let's give some specific details. So let's talk about what people think of as a ranch vacation, which probably comes from the movie City Slickers.
Oh, yes.
where you have these hardy guys and these people who probably shouldn't be on a ranch and boom, they meet. So what is probably like the most rustic place in your association where people really, really get the down and dirty cowboy life?
Yeah. So we've got a couple different options. And the beauty of these working ranches is it's still, you know, very comfortable accommodations. You know, you're not sleeping out under the stars unless you absolutely want to. and you know, you're still in a comfortable bed, clean, you know, that's a very important
private bathroom
as well. Yep. Bathrooms, in the cabins or in the lodges, you know, and then also, you know, but yes, during the day, your activities are rough and tough and you may be having dinner around the family's table that owns the ranch. You know, we have several of those working ranches. For example, the Klondike Ranch in Wyoming is one that, you know, they only take 10 guests a week and you have dinner with their family because that's who runs the ranch is they have very few extra hired individuals that work with them. And you literally sit around the table in the owner's dining room.
That's in Wyoming.
It is.
The Klondike Ranch is
Klondike.
Did I get that right?
Yep.
Klondike.
Yep.
So, and so when you look out at the view from the Klondike Ranch, what do you see? Is it all open plains? Are there mountains? Are there streams? I mean, what does it look like? What does it yes. feel like? It's you said it's a family-owned operation, pretty small.
Yes. Yep.
Give us some visuals.
Yes. Oh, this is one of my favorite parts because I wish everybody could see these places, you know. And Klondike is a really beautiful place because it does mix, honestly, the plains and the rolling hills with the mountains of Wyoming. So they sit at the base of the Bighorn Mountains. And while you're there, not only are you going to be, you know, on their small ranch operation where you've got foals, you know, that have just been born that year that are just in the pasture when you pull in, and you're going to see some cows around, you know, just the area right there. You're going to just see some beautiful lawns and big trees, you know, that just, it's a really welcoming environment. And the stream runs, you know, kind of alongside of the ranch property there. And then you have the opportunity to, you look out at the base of the Bighorn Mountains. And if you're familiar with the Bighorns at all, they're not the drastic, sharp-topped, you know, peaked mountains. They're old. They're a very old mountain range. And so they are more of like a rolling kind of top to them. But they are steep and they're beautiful.
Huh.
And part of Klondike is in their summer or in their early months, so in June, before they kick their cows up to the mountain for summer pasture, they do cowboy clinics is what they call them. And so it's
fun.
Very, very much so you're hands-on. You learn to rope. You learn kind of how to work with horses, how to saddle your horse. You know, it's very hands-on. And so, and then in the summer months, July, August, and September, which is always very busy for them, you're up on the mountain riding and pushing cattle with them. And so you get to be in the Bighorn Mountains, which is really cool. But, you know, they're just one example. About 20 of our members in the association of the 90 are what we would consider those working cattle ranches. The majority of our members are what we call traditional dude ranches. And they are really the ones that are family focused and family oriented. They have great children's programs. And really,
Before we leave the children's programs, what is that? Is that riding clinics? Is that still around horses? Or would that be going out into nature and doing ecology?
I guess it would be a little bit of both. I would say it's kind of all of the above. And so if the kids don't want to ride, then they have activities, you know, that are set up, or maybe they're not old enough to ride. And so, you know, whether it's arts and crafts or they do scavenger hunts or, you know, they've got the petting zoo or whatever it may be, there's activities that keep those littles involved. You know, they get to go play and see the creek or fish in the pond or whatever it, you know, whatever comes about. Just even play games on the lawn. And truly, dude ranches offer a very special environment because of the autonomy that they provide. Huh. It's truly amazing that you can literally, you know, within the first couple of days, you always see like parents are really like, oh, where's the kids? Where's the kids? Where's the kids? And honestly, by about day three, they're like, yeah, come find us at mealtime. You know, like,
and that's great.
It's a really unique environment, especially in today's world, because you do have to, I mean, I have kids, like, and you do have to watch, you know, where they are at all times. But dude ranches provide this security where there's eyes on them all the time between staff and other guests and obviously family. You know, there's somebody always watching over them. And, sure. But it gives
but
them
still
the
also giving them some roaming privileges
the
so they can actually experience nature without somebody hovering.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or they're not staring at a screen, you know.
Yes. Are most of the ranches no screens allowed or?
Most ranches do require them to stay in the cabins. They don't want them to be seen where, because it really does take away from the experience.
Sure.
You know, however, there are ranches that only have internet access in their lodges. Huh. Or we have one ranch in Colorado that they have one room in their lodge that has internet access, and they call it the internet jailhouse. That's what they call it.
That's very funny. Okay, so we heard about the Klondike, which is a typical working ranch in Wyoming, or was it Montana?
I think it's
it was
Wyoming.
It was Wyoming.
Yep.
What is the most unusual of your ranches in the association? Maybe either where they are in terms of the ecosystem they're part of, or I don't know if they're high end. I just was in Denver, and a friend of mine, I was speaking at the Travel and Adventure Show. A friend was staying at the Urban Cowboy Hotel, which was the chicest cowboy style place I've ever seen. I mean, just gorgeous looking, all these patterns and, you know, woven blankets and, you know, all in cowboy style, but no cowboy ever lived like that. So do you have anything like that? Or do you have places that are in unusual ecosystems?
One of the ones that comes to top of mind for me that I've always found to be probably one of the most intriguing ranches I've ever visited is in Montana. It's called the Blacktail Ranch. And what makes this ranch so unique is the prehistoric history that actually comes with this ranch. So they have this cave. And when I'd say it's a cave, it's a complete underground cave.
Wow.
They have an entire museum on their property of things that have been pulled out of this cave. And truly, they date back to the Ice Age.
Wow.
That's incredible. So cool. And you would never know. Like, you pull into this place and it's in this beautiful little valley up outside of the small town is called Wolf Creek, Montana, close to Helena. And you would never know. They've got these, you know, nice little cabins and the creek runs right by the stream. And, you know, then you've got their lodge and these beautiful rolling hills, and they're right on the Continental Divide. And it's just gorgeous. You just think you're, you know, in the beautiful mountains of Montana. And then all of a sudden they're like, hey, you want to go see this ice cave? And you're like, what? And I was so thrown off. I mean, and of course I went, gosh, it was probably 5-6 years ago now. And it's amazing. You could spend all day down there. It's so cool. And, you know, they've got all the safety measures in place and you climb down and it's lit. They've got power down there and you get the chance to climb through it. And it's so cool. But that is probably one of the most unique attractions at one of our ranches that truly there is not another one out there that has it, you know?
Yeah.
And then there's also a couple ranches that are very eco-friendly, which is very intriguing. Good. Both in Wyoming, both incredibly remote. And the first one is called the Darwin Ranch, and it sits in the completely in the wilderness. It is one of the most remote ranches in the lower 48, and it's completely run by hydropower, which is very cool. They have an entire hydropower system that runs off of the stream that comes through the ranch, through the valley that they sit in, and that's what powers the ranch. And they have a wood-fired hot tub and a wood-fired sauna. It's actually considered more of like a luxury property is what I would consider it. It's an entire farm-to-table food program. So very fresh food. And they're very, very conservation-focused, which is very cool. It's a stunning property. And, you know, you've got horses, hiking, fishing, you know, natural swimming. They've got this great pool of water that sits kind of right below the sauna and the hot tub. So you can kind of jump back
Perfect.
And forth. Yes. Yeah. And it's really just an awesome, awesome place. And then there's one very similar to it as well. And these are both kind of outside of Jackson, Wyoming. It's kind of hard to pinpoint a close town to them because they are pretty remote. The other one that's similar is called Flat Creek Ranch. And of course, fly fishing is a huge attraction at these because the terrain is pretty steep, especially at Flat Creek. They sit on a big lake and the lodge overlooks the lake, and it's amazing to drink your coffee out there. It's just stunning. I mean, you're looking over the Bridger-Teton Wilderness and this gorgeous just lake and all these trees, and you truly are like, how did anyone find this place? Seriously.
Amazing.
And so it's also what I would consider a luxury ranch. Both of those are very small. Flat Creek takes 14 guests and Darwin takes up to 20. And so they're both a very intimate experience, but those are both very unique as well.
Okay. Now let's get to down to some of the nitty gritty very quickly.
Yeah.
How long is the typical dude ranch vacation? How long do people tend to go? Is this like a long weekend activity or a full week for most guests?
We really encourage a full week because we do have ranches that take shorter stays. There's no doubt, you know, 3 to 4 night stays are something. It's kind of just the travel landscape anymore. Dude Ranch has definitely had to adjust to that. But really, we encourage a week-long stay solely because of the reason is people get there and they get involved with it. And if they're only there for 3 or 4 nights, they don't want to leave. Because it's like, oh, well, we're going to miss out on the Saturday night cookout, or we're going to miss out on the breakfast ride, or, you know, something like that. And they don't realize that when they're booking it. And sure. So,
and so there is enough variety day to day that you would miss out on something. You're not just doing the same things over and over.
Correct. And so that's one of the really awesome things about Dude Ranch Vacations is the autonomy that they provide. You know, there's different activities all throughout the week. Horseback riding is offered almost every day for most ranches. And but then you could fish, you could hike, you could do shooting sports. You could just sit on the porch and read a book. Like,
sure.
We've got some ranches, like especially in Arizona, that are actually within a very close distance of wildlife preserves. And so bird watching is a really actually a big thing down in some of our southern ranches in Arizona. And so, yeah, it's just a variety of things you can do. But many ranches do have pretty set programming throughout the week. So,
sure.
They don't offer a breakfast ride every single day. You know, if you're, and most ranches do really structure their programming around a week long stay. So anywhere from 5 to 7 nights.
All right. So let's talk about the cost. What is the least you might spend for a ranch vacation per adult per week? And what is the most?
Yeah. So we have, it really ranges, and it ranges on what you're going to be experiencing. Of course, our luxury properties tend to be a little more expensive, which is not really anybody's surprise, which we've got ranches that it runs probably close to $6,500 per adult for a week long stay. Now, everybody gets a little sticker shock when they hear that. But honestly, those are, like I said, luxury properties. You're paying for luxury experiences, but also everything's included. It's all inclusive. You know, that's not just your lodging. That doesn't include travel, but
and that's per person. So 65
per person. Yep. Yeah. And then but truly those are, you know, you have everything under the sun that you could ever dream of at those places.
Sure.
And then you've got we've got a couple ranches that are $2,000 a week per person and per adult. And those are pretty rare. We say on average, the average cost of a dude ranch vacation for 6 to 7 nights per adult is around $3,500.
Interesting. Okay. And is this a year-round activity, or do most people do this in the summer months?
So we do have ranches that are year-round, and we have different locations that offer seasonal experiences. So most of our ranches in the north, so Wyoming, Montana, Colorado, Idaho, you know, those type of northern locations are summer operations. So usually we say 1st of June to middle of September, depending on the location. Some of them are earlier, some of them go a little bit later, but due to weather is usually the biggest deterrent for those seasons. But then we have our Arizona and Southern California properties.
Oh, sure. Must be the opposite season. Yeah.
The opposite season. Yes. Yeah. And then we do have ranches that are year-round. So we do have a few, mainly in Colorado and Montana, that offer a year-round experience. So if you want to go, you know, ride the sleighs like the Hallmark movies by a horse-drawn carriage, when we get snow, we have not had a very snowy winter, at least in Wyoming this year. But, you know, there's those opportunities too for cross-country skiing, snowshoeing, snowmobiling, you know, those type of experiences as well. So that's intriguing to a lot of people. But really, when people are reaching out to us for holidays or spring break, it's the Arizona locations in Southern California.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, you've made it sound so appealing. I'm kicking myself that I've never done this.
We'll have to get you to one, Pauline.
Yeah,
for sure.
That would be great. That would be great. Well, thank you so, so much for appearing on the Fromer Travel Show. Oh, before I let you go, what's a good website for you so people can see the ranches in your organization?
Absolutely. The association's website is simply duderanch.org. And we're pretty much the first one that'll pop up. But the association serves as a free service. So if you're looking for a Dude Ranch vacation or want to explore this idea, but it can be a little overwhelming when you're trying to look at 91 properties and figure out where to go.
Wow. Sure.
The association offers that it's a free service that we help you narrow down the ranches to look at. We don't book the ranches for you, but we provide recommendations. And quite frankly, there's only two of us. You're either going to be talking to myself or my assistant that deals with those inquiries. And so, you know, my assistant's worked for us for 4 years. She's got a really good handle on the ranches, and as do I. And so we're going to make sure to get you to a place that is going to suit what you're looking for. Or, you know, maybe if we think this might not be the right destination for you based on what you would like to experience, we can always help maybe find something that will be good. So,
okay. Well, yeah. Great. Well, thank you so much for appearing on the Fromer Travel Show. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. And we're going to have to get you to do a Dude Ranch, Pauline. It's the next one on your list. I know.
Definitely.
It.
Definitely.
All right. That is it for this week's show. I thank you so much for listening. If you enjoy what you've been hearing, what you've been seeing, please, you know, give us a 5-star rating wherever you get your podcasts, and please subscribe. And if you are traveling, I'm jealous, but I also wish you a hearty bon voyage. I'll see you next week.
Are you ever coming home? I like you with your sour candy in the boathouse on the lake. But I hate the way it tastes. Oh, it's been so long. And I cannot help but wonder, are you ever coming home? When I see you with your sour candy, don't want it any other way. Oh, I just hate the way it tastes.
Quick question. Do you want travel tips from people who have actually been there?
Our show is co-hosted by Tim Johnson, an award-winning travel journalist who's been to more than 145 countries around the world. And I'm David Brody, the other co-host who's been travel podcasting for 20 years while traveling to 50-plus countries around the world.
In about 10 or 20 minutes per show, we break down a destination with the kind of insight you usually only get from long guidebooks or hours of research.
So if you want expert advice, zero fluff, and travel inspiration that you can actually use, search for Travel Intend wherever you listen to podcasts, or you can also find us at voyescape.com.
Hi, I'm Mike Siegel, and man, oh man, do I love talking about travel. You think I'd get enough of it, touring the world as a stand-up comedian, or just going off on my own personal adventures around the world? No, when I get home, I still have to talk about it. That's how much I love travel. So every week I sit down with a friend, a travel expert, influencer, expat, or anyone from any walk of life who shares my passion for travel. So if you want to hear a fun, casual, off-the-cuff chat about travel from people who love it, listen to the Travel Tales podcast with me, Mike Siegel, wherever you get your podcasts.